Funding for WBUR comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
They just want a good show. That's all they want.
There's 24 of us, Gail. Only one comes out.
It's the highest-grossing film of the year. The Hunger Games, based on the dystopian young adult novels, has been praised for challenging teen audiences with sophisticated characters and storylines. But the series creator, Suzanne Collins, is not the first person to do that. Since the late 90s, Cambridge author M.T. Anderson has been crafting smart, often dark fiction for teens that also has attracted an adult audience. His novel, The Astonishing Life of Octavian Nothing, set in Revolutionary-era Boston, won a National Book Award in 2006. This morning, WBUR's Adam Ragusea profiles M.T. Anderson in the final installment in our series, Visionaries. We've looked at men and women in the arts who've received local and national acclaim for their work.
Come on in.
Thanks for having me.
Matthew Tobin Anderson, Tobin to his friends, was born in 1968 at Mount Auburn Hospital.
It's nice to meet you.
Good to meet you.
Despite having traveled the world, today he lives just a few blocks away on the fourth floor of a beautiful brick building north of Harvard Square.
Wow.
Yeah, yeah. These apartments are great. They go back to the 1930s, and they were really nicely done.
Get used to that kind of talk. Anderson has an incessant awareness of history, one that informs his deep affection for Boston, Cambridge, and the town of Stowe, where he was raised.
It was a great time to grow up there because towns in that ring between 128 and 495, their agricultural economy had fallen through in the 1950s, which meant that the whole town was very forested in a way that it has not been since the 18th century, in which it probably never will be again.
That translated to a childhood spent exploring spooky old barns, trudging through orchards, a lifestyle consistent with the boys' adventure books Anderson devoured from the Stowe Public Library. Around the age of 12 or 13, Anderson started writing things he called novels, adventure and science fiction stories of about 60 pages. After graduating from St. Mark's Prep School in Southborough, he attended Harvard, briefly.
I dropped out and ended up working at the Coop for a while, and then went to Cambridge University in England.
Returning stateside, Anderson started an entry-level job at Somerville-based children's book publisher Candlewick Press, where his work is published today. He kept developing his fiction, but also indulged his passion for classical music, hosting a show on WCUW in Worcester.
We're now going to play the first Brahms string sextet. Are you ready to party, Worcester?
And party they did, I'm sure.
It's Worcester, yeah. Hell yeah.
At 44, Anderson is basically a big, geeky kid. He has no children, lives alone in a spare apartment stacked with books and CDs. He can sound professorial and gleefully sophomoric in the same breath. It's a voice perfectly suited for writing the kind of young adult, or YA, books he wishes he could have read as a smarter-than-normal teen.
The category really grew up in the 1970s with books that I actually, when I was a kid in the 1980s, didn't really like, because that was the era of what is called the problem novel, the YA novel that is supposed to be about, you know, don't do drugs or masturbation is fine or something like that. That seemed to be something that was foisted on you by an adult.
So with his breakout novel in 2002, Anderson crafted something much more sophisticated, an allegory about teens and their struggles with modern technology called Feed.
It's about people with a chip in their head that gives them instant internet access. So this is a section from Feed. I don't know when they first had feeds, like maybe 50 or 100 years ago. Before that, they had to use their hands and their eyes. Computers were all outside the body, in their hands, like if you carried your lungs in a briefcase and opened it to breathe. People were really excited when they first came out with feeds. It was all da-da-da, this big educational thing, da-da-da. That's one of the great things about the feed, that you can be super smart without ever working.
Sounds great, except that in the world of feed, everything you think about triggers a targeted advertisement that bombards your consciousness. You literally can't look away.
Oh, feed. It was upsetting.
15-year-old Juliana Kaplan of Brookline says she didn't feel preached to when she read the book. She saw an unflattering reflection of her own life.
Like, I'm on my iPod and I want to download an app or go on Facebook, but there's, like, you know, 10 million, like, ads popping up. And then Daniela, my little sister, every time she sees an infomercial, oh my god. You have a slushy magic over there, you see that?
Yeah.
That was an infomercial, and now it's living in our house.
Older teens tend to write to me and say, thank you for not writing down to teenagers. And then there are the letters from adults who say, this is such a good book. Why did you write it for teens? And I feel like, what? You should write a shitty book for teens? Is that the idea?
And Feed is not a, shall we say, lousy book. It won the LA Times and Boston Globe Horn Book Awards, drawing comparisons to the work of George Orwell and Kurt Vonnegut.
Teens are not like the weird, dumb dwarves you have around your house. They are actually you when you were younger. Why not write a book which is as sophisticated as a book for an adult, but is about the concerns that teenagers actually have?
M.T. Anderson is not the biggest-selling young adult writer today, but he is perhaps the most respected, particularly by other authors.
He certainly beat The Hunger Games to dystopia by a decade.
That's Indianapolis-based young adult author John Green. His latest book hit number one on the New York Times bestseller list earlier this year. Green says Anderson paved the way for writers like him by debunking an axiom of the publishing world.
That books were either fun or smart. That's ridiculous. And Tobin proved that it was ridiculous with Feed, and then he certainly proved it with the Octavian books.
Green is referring to Anderson's next triumph, The Astonishing Life of Octavian Nothing, Traitor to a Nation, a two-volume set of historical novels set in Boston during the Revolution. In this opening scene, the young protagonist, Octavian, describes observing some scientific demonstrations.
My earliest recollections are of floating lights in the apple trees. I recall in the orchard behind the house, orbs of flame rising through the black boughs and branches. They climbed, spiritous, and flickered out. My mother squeezed my hand with delight. Around the orchard and gardens stood a wall of some height, designed to repel the glance of idle curiosity, and to keep us all from slipping away and running for freedom. Though that, of course, I did not yet understand. How doth all that seeks to rise burn itself to nothing?
So, why did Octavian not understand he was being held in captivity? Because he was an African slave, the subject of a perverse Enlightenment experiment to see if a black child given an elite education could possibly grow up to be as intelligent as a white child. Does this sound like a young adult book to you?
I mean, all of my books, which are supposedly, I mean, they're called YA novels, my hope is that adults would find no reason not to read them.
Which invites the question, why call it YA at all? Anderson concedes it's partly marketing, but he also insists that teens deserve books that respect the complexity of their inner lives. Who is Octavian but a precocious teen, realizing that the world is not as it was presented to him as a child? That's something all smart kids can relate to, including Anderson himself.
I write for teens partially to work out whatever it was that I needed to from my own teenage years.
And in that, Anderson says he's been so successful that he can't picture himself writing YA much longer.
Certain elements of teen life that 10 years ago were very important to me still are becoming less so as I get older. I mean, I've kind of gotten over, I guess I'm saying, the fact that I had trouble getting a date for the prom.
It sounds like the overgrown kid is starting to grow up. For 90.9 WBUR, I'm Adam Ragusea.